Athletics are a big part of Wisconsin culture on college campuses and beyond. As universities around the country struggle with the problem of sexual assault, some advocacy groups say it's time to focus on the role of coaches in helping solve the problem.
While students and student athletes may cycle through universities every 4 years, coaches tend to stick around longer and provide a focal point for what can feel like a family.
It may be that the team mentality comes with benefits and sometimes risks. According to a 2016 study, student athletes scored lower on a test measuring an understanding of sexual consent than the general college populations.
Thomas Velton Irwin joins us now. He is a reporter at the Daily Cardinal, UW-Madison student newspaper. Thomas, thank you so much for coming up to the studio today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And Brian O'Connor is with us as well. He's director of public education campaigns and programs at Futures Without Violence. Brian, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi.
And Thomas, we're going to start with you. The Daily Cardinal just did an action project issue about sexual assault, and you wrote a piece about coaches and their role, their potential roles in preventing sexual assault. And you start by describing what happened with the Minnesota Golden Gophers last December. Can you tell us that story?
Yeah. So what had happened was there was a group of student athletes on the Minnesota football team that had allegedly committed a gang rape in early September, I think it was, after their season opener. And a couple of players were suspended. I think eventually between 6 and 9 or something like that were suspended. And almost immediately after this decision to suspend these players was announced, the rest of the players announced that they were going to be boycotting all football-related activities, including the big bowl game that they had coming up. I think it was the Holiday Bowl in San Diego. And there was a lot of outcry about this for good reason, because there was effectively no evidence that these students had not committed any crimes. And just a few days after this boycott was announced, there was a leaked document from the university's report into the allegations. And it was, you know, incredibly in-depth. I think it was 80 pages long, and it was pretty damning. And there was, you know, massive public outcry at these players' decision to boycott. But one of the things that I thought was really interesting was the head coach of the football team, Tracy Clays, made public statements, I think it was on Twitter, that he was really proud of his players for this decision and that they were standing up for what they believe in. And so that's where the coaches come into this, is that, you know, somebody needed to tell these players that what had happened, if without enough evidence to say that nothing had happened, it was a bad decision to side with the people that were being accused of a crime.
And you also interviewed some experts for this piece, Thomas, including Jessica Luther, author of the book Unsportsmanlike Conduct, College Football, and the Politics of Rape. And what did she have to say about that dynamic that you were getting at there about sports teams as it relates to sexual assault?
Yeah, so Jessica is really adamant about this idea that with players cycling in so often, you know, a lot of players don't even stay for the full 4 years. It's less true in football than it is in basketball, but it's still true that they're often staying 3 years. So that there's so much turnover from year to year that it needs to be the coaches that are making this change. And we talked about Tracy Clays a lot because he's a prime example of coaches not making change.
And Brian, let's bring you in here. What do you see as both the benefits and the risks of the culture that can develop within and around a sports team and also go on to inform the culture on a university campus, for instance?
Sure. No, and thank you so much for your piece. I will say that unfortunately this is not unique to the Gophers. It's not unique to Wisconsin. And that we have seen, I don't want to say necessarily an increase in sexual assault cases on college campuses. However, what we have seen is certainly a spotlight on the importance of investigating these cases. And so, you know, actually in some ways you could see this as a positive, that more victims feel comfortable coming forward and being able to tell their story, oftentimes feeling maybe perhaps that they feel safer in order to share what's going on. And so, you know, I think that's that too, I think, is somewhat of a silver lining, frankly, to some of this. When it comes to specifically around athletics, I think it's also important for us to keep in mind that oftentimes, you know, these young men and women are the popular kids, you know, the popular young adults on campus, and they also really set the tone of the culture of the campus in many ways. And so, I think that there's actually a really great opportunity here to build their leadership. This is a leadership moment in the midst of really some bad stuff.
And Brian, among other things that your organization is doing is zeroing in on the coaches in particular as a focal point to try to educate and to teach athletes about healthy relationships, bystander behavior, things like that. Why coaches? Why are you focusing there?
Yes, you're referring to a program that we have called Coaching Boys into Men. And actually, it is a program that is implemented, is running in Wisconsin as well, and all around the country. As we were talking about just earlier, that coaches have a very unique relationship with their athletes. Coaching Boys and Men in particular focuses mostly in on high school programs, but we've also worked on college campuses as well as then aging it down in middle schools as well. Coaches, you know, hey, athletes are looking for playing time, so they listen to what their coaches are telling them what to do. And as I mentioned, not only do they have a unique relationship and opportunity, but sometimes, and I definitely think on the camp, in the campus environment, hey, you know, you spend more time with your teammates and with your coaches than you do probably with anybody else.
We're talking with Thomas Felton Irwin right now, reporter at the Daily Cardinal, UW-Madison student newspaper. Also with us is Brian O'Connor, director in public education of public education campaigns and programs at Futures Without Violence. And we're talking about the efforts there to focus on coaches when it comes to sexual assault prevention. And Thomas, you wrote about a UW group called We're Better Than That. Can you tell us about them and what they do?
So You Better Than That is technically not exclusively athletics. The subtitle of that group is Men Against Sexual Assault. So what they try to do is bring men into this conversation, which has historically, a lot of the onus for talking about sexual assault has been put on women. So their goal is to bring men into it. They do have several branches of their group, and one of those branches is athletics. And there are a lot of athletes involved, even outside of just the athletic sphere. So Grace Wald, who's on the UW swim team, she's the vice president. And what they try to do, they do stuff like host workshops for athletes, and just give them a space to talk about sexual assault and talk about what can be done to prevent sexual assault. And like Coaching Boys into Men does, talk about effective bystander behavior and how to talk to other athletes outside of that workshop.
And Brian, I want to ask you about Coaching Boys into Men and what happens in that program. You're training coaches, I imagine, in ways to have conversations. What are some of the ways that you're promoting in talking about sexual assault prevention and teaching about healthy relationships?
Sure. Thank you. The program is pretty straightforward. It is one where the coach facilitates a conversation on a different topic each week, just 15 minutes a week with his athletes. This program in particular is for male coaches with all male teams. There is a complementary program as well for female athletes, so I think it's important to get that out there. But Coaching Boys into Men most specifically really is about how we, and I was mentioning too, how we kind of really around the leveraging the popularity, the social capital, I guess you could say, of athletes on campus, and particularly male athletes. I mean, they do hold, like I said, a unique, they hold unique capital and influence on the campus and really setting the tone and the culture and the climate. So with that, the coach is then really motivated, inspired, hopefully, to have these conversations anywhere from, you know, personal responsibility, talking about disrespectful behavior towards women and girls, bragging about sexual reputation, various topics each week where, you know, there's a little introduction, but then the coach asks just some discussion questions to the athletes about what they think, and really using different scenarios and that whether you're bringing in a headline, or you're talking about a specific incident that might have happened in the community that everybody might know about, but you're really being proactive about having these conversations and asking where your athletes' heads are at. How are they feeling about this? What might be some of the distinct pressures that they might be feeling as athletes on campus? What might they be exposed to that might be different than, say, other students as well? And so having those conversations ahead of time before something bad happens also, too, is really important. And it's even more important when something does happen, because unfortunately, as I was saying, it's not unique to Wisconsin. It's happening all around the country. And so just because we don't talk about it doesn't mean it's not happening. Coaches really have an opportunity. And in some ways, in my view, and in Futures Without Violence, the organization that I work for, our view is that we have a responsibility to our young men, particularly our young men and women, to talk about these issues.
Brian O'Connor is with us now, Director of Public Education Campaigns and Programs at Futures Without Violence. Also with us in studio is Thomas Valton Irwin, reporter at the Daily Cardinal, that's UW-Madison's student newspaper. As we talk about the effort to focus on coaches when it comes to sexual assault prevention.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about this idea, training coaches to take the lead to get them talking about sexual assault prevention? What role do you think athletes and coaches can play in creating a safe climate and preventing sexual assault at the college level, high school, even middle school level? If you're a coach or athlete at a high school or college level, do you talk about these issues with your team? Call in now, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're talking about the effort to look more at coaches when it comes to sexual assault prevention. Thomas Valton Irwin is with us, reporter at the Daily Cardinal, and Brian O'Connor, Director of Public Education Campaigns and Programs at Futures Without Violence.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about efforts to train coaches to talk about sexual assault prevention with their teams? What role do you think athletes and coaches could play in creating safer climates on campuses, especially when it comes to sexual assault? Have you dealt with this on your own team as an athlete or a coach? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And Brian, we have some calls ready for you, but I want to ask you first before we dive in there, what do the coaches think about this? I mean, I can see that there could be the attitude that I'm here to create a team and teach a sport and to win, and this is outside my purview. Are you seeing coaches that are receptive?
Yeah, no, it's a great point, because coaches are coaches, right? They're not social workers or nurses or law enforcement. And so we want coaches to be coaches. You're bringing up a really great point in that coaches can't do it alone. We have found that coaches are very receptive to this, kind of like what I was alluding to just before the break, of that they do see their responsibility and the opportunity in helping to build, you know, strong, healthy young men. They also, frankly, see being able to help their athletes navigate sometimes some really difficult situations with their relationships or what they're exposed to on a Friday night at a party where there's some drinking going on, etc. When they're able to provide some of that support and guidance as the coach, they actually have been able to build a stronger team and greater team cohesiveness as well. And so we hear that from coaches all the time.
And Thomas, I want to ask you, as far as I know, you didn't interview any UW coaches per se, but do you have a sense about how receptive athletes are and administrators in general here at UW-Madison?
Yeah, Grace talked a good amount about how she felt the culture had improved or was better than many other universities across the U.S. So she did seem like when they host these workshops, student-athletes feel really comfortable then leaving those spaces and talking with other student-athletes and other students in general, because, like Brian mentioned, athletes have an absurd amount of social capital, especially on this campus and campuses where athletics are such a big deal. So they can then, once they understand how to do these things and how to talk about things like sexual assault, they can then lead those conversations among their peers and fellow students at UW, aside from just those that are on their team.
And we're talking right now about a new focus on coaches when it comes to sexual assault prevention and why that could be changing things. And I want to ask you, Brian, are you looking at all your organization? We're talking about this program that focuses on coaches in particular. Your organization is bigger than that. Are there other spheres you want to look at that might be similar to coaches, where there is maybe a leader who helps create culture that you want to target for this kind of education?
Yes. So I think that, you know, kind of what I was saying, when coaches can't do it alone, I do want to just go back real quick around the campus community, right? And so coaches also want to ensure that when they are trying to build their strong team, and, you know, also nutrition is important and conditioning is important and running your plays and how this is best integrated into practice, there's only a limited amount of time you have with your athletes. And so they definitely don't want to see this as an add-on. And so it's always trying to make the case and showing how there are how this is important in helping to build a strong team. And where's the buy-in on campus come from? So making sure that administrators are on board, making sure that any healthcare providers are also on board too. You know, as far as when I say healthcare providers, kind of thinking about you know, the team trainers, for example. Everybody, there's a whole constellation of individuals that are important in helping to build the health and well-being of the athletes and, frankly, of the student body overall on campus that are also really important to kind of come into this.
And Thomas, let's ask you, your paper just did this this action issue. It was largely, entirely devoted to the issue of sexual assaults on college campuses. Do you get the sense that that conversation is opening up?
Sure, yeah. I think you see this with a lot of issues recently that, you know, people, especially students like my age, are becoming more willing to talk about these things. And there's a big movement towards being comfortable talking about them and having spaces where it's okay to say things. And it's okay for people who don't know what they're talking about to talk about things. And because that's the only way to learn. So while I do think there is a sense that people are becoming more open to it, that's still just, a step on the ladder and there's a long way to go.
Let's take a caller now. We've got Matt joining us in Madison. Matt, hi.
Hello. Am I on the air?
Yeah. What did you want to share?
I'm going to take you off. I like this idea. I think it's very good. I think that as a society, we should expand upon this thought. And it's difficult to say where the work is best done. For myself, I've allowed my own spirituality to lead me to just uncomplicate life in the sense that I can preach to people about being positive and being loving and kind. And I'll preach that to anybody that will give me an ear, right? And beyond that, life is just too complicated for me. Now, in this specific example, this is a great effort, but I think that the more and more that we apply this type of responsibility to people, not just coaches, not just teachers, not just parents, not just community leaders, but everybody. And if we take it upon ourselves, eventually it has to get better. You can't argue with that love and positivity and kindness. You just can't argue with it.
Matt, thank you for that call. And Brian, Matt saying we need to take it to the public at large, not just coaches. Do you think that the message is getting out some more about different places to talk about, different venues? And also, as you were saying, are people feeling comfortable maybe reporting a sexual assault as well? Are you seeing the ship sort of turning on this?
Sure, I am. I mean, I think that it just having, I mean, even the former vice president's It's On Us campaign was one that was shining a pretty bright spotlight on the issue overall and focusing in on college campus. I think, you know, it's from a prevention standpoint, I think if we start early, I appreciate the caller's sentiment too around it's, you know, we were kind of alluding to that earlier in some of the conversation that it's about everybody wrapping ourselves around each other and around young people too to help them build and healthy relationships and be those examples as well for them to do that. So absolutely. I mean, this conversation is focused in on coaches and that they have a unique relationship and therefore opportunity to influence their athletes in a way that could be really impactful and one that we've seen.
And Thomas, you were talking earlier about the social capital of coaches and athletes as well. Are there other instances, you know, parallel to that you see where there are leaders on campus that might have different social capital than athletes but still be looked to as leaders that could be another focal point down the road?
Sure, yeah. I think the obvious answer here is professors and teaching assistants and people that have, you know, positions of leadership outside of the realm of athletics on campus. There's just, in every relationship, there's almost always a power dynamic between two people, whether it's between just one on one, or it's one in five, or one in 100. There's always someone who has a higher position of power, and I think it does have to be on that person to do this education so that the people that they are, that are following them, can then go on and become that leader for someone else. Because if you think about it like a coach and then a player and then like a player's kid, for example, the coach teaches the player and the player teaches their kid. There's always a hierarchy like that, and I think it needs to come from the top down.
And Brian, as we wrap up, any words to coaches or athletes who might be listening? Got about 20 seconds here.
I just want to, one, thank you for this work and, you know, recognizing, like I said, unfortunately, if we don't talk about it, it doesn't mean it's not happening, right? And so I can tell you and attest to the fact that it helps build stronger teams, stronger athletes, which then obviously make for stronger teams.
Well, thank you for joining us, Brian. Thanks to you. And Thomas, so glad you could join us as well.
Yeah, thank you.
We were talking there with Thomas Valton Irwin, reporter at the Daily Cardinal, UW-Madison student newspaper, and Brian O'Connor from Futures Without Violence. And they both joined us to talk about the role that coaches can play, also athletes, in preventing sexual violence.